Hi. Well, welcome, everybody. This is the Clean Network teleconference. And before we get started on our presentation today, I want to ask if there are any announcements. For those of you who are not familiar with the Clean Network telecons, we do start with announcements so we can share anything that you have ongoing that you might want to make everybody aware of, or if you want to attract participants in a workshop you're planning, you can announce that here also. So are there any announcements?
Since you mentioned workshops, Tamara, this is Kristen Poppleton with the Will Steger Foundation. I just want folks to know, if you're in the Midwest especially, that we're doing two summer institutes for climate and energy education this summer, and our first one's coming up June 16th in Minnesota, just an hour and a half north of Minneapolis. And the focus is for grades 4 through 12, with especially the 4 through 8, and our focus is energy and a new curriculum that was just developed here. And we'll be doing a lot of hands-on sessions on doing audits in your school and on energy efficiency specifically. And then
so
we have another one coming up in August.
This is a teacher workshop?
This is a teacher workshop, yep.
Yep, okay, great.
And then we have another teacher workshop. Yep, and there's another one coming up in August, and that one will be focusing on Mississippi River. It's for teachers as well, and the impacts of climate change specifically on the watershed and on the river, and it will be held at Fort Snelling State Park, and that one is 2 days, and the other one is 3 days, 2 nights. The information is on our website, www.willstegerfoundation.org.
Okay, thanks. Any other announcements?
Just a quick one from Noah. The climate portal currently looks like next week, the climate portal 2.0 will be released sometime early in the week. So just keep your – I'll send out a note to the network when that does come. But it is – we're getting to the final steps of our preparations.
Great. Okay, any other announcements? Okay, well, I will remind people that there are abstracts for the GSA meeting. It's open now, so people can submit abstracts. The deadline's not until August, but I just wanted to let people know that you can submit abstracts to that now. Okay, any other announcements? Okay, and so before we get started, I wanted to welcome anybody who is not on our usual Clean Network listserv. I distributed this announcement of this presentation to the Tri-Agency Climate Change Education listserv, to the NASA NICE projects, and to the DRK-12 Environmental Literacy Projects, and to the Clean New England partners. And so if any of you are interested in joining the Clean Network telecons, you can send me an email. We can add you to the listserv. Okay, so with that, we are now going to move on to our presentation for today. This is the first in a series of three presentations about using social media to further our work in increasing climate and energy literacy. Today's presentation, for those of you who might not realize, is going to be done through Adobe Connect, and I sent the link out to that in the email and also posted it on the teleconference page, so you can get it there, or all the slides are also on the teleconference page, so you can get that there. So today's presentation is going to be made by Emily Kelleher, from CERES, the Cooperative Institute for Research and Environmental Science at the University of Colorado Boulder. Emily has a Master's of Education and has a 20-year career in education and education leadership. She's involved as a science educator as well as an education technology and a curriculum specialist. And she's been very involved in the social media groups at the University of Colorado Boulder and manages the social media account for CERES Education and Outreach Group. And she's going to be talking to us today about social media insights. And with that, Emily, I will turn it over to you.
Thank you, Tamara. Thank you so much also for that nice introduction. I am very excited to be here. And if you look on social media, these are the profile pictures of myself that you'll see. And it's amazing when I start talking with people how many people actually are doing social media for their companies without having any kind of training. So this little cartoon is kind of a joke, you know, so you're a social media specialist? Wow, I'm one too. Well, I'm actually, I don't call myself a social media expert or specialist. I do a lot at my job with setting up our social media and maintaining it, but it's not my main job. So I might have a unique perspective that I can share with you. I'm a very busy person. I'm coming from the classroom, so I actually monitor how teachers use social media as well. And when I decided that I was going to try to broadcast more about all the cool things that we were doing at Ceres Education Outreach, plus try to network and meet people, I came up with about three goals for myself. The first goal was just to connect with colleagues and people in the field of climate education, heliophysics, and oceanography, which were my main projects. And my second goal was just to share the Ceres projects and events and resources. And then my last goal was to learn from others, check out who was doing a great job sharing and engaging their community. So thank you so much for those of you that have already started to fill out the poll. If you haven't taken a minute to fill out the polls, they're at the top right-hand corner of the screen. And this helps me kind of realize where everybody's coming from. You know, so it looks like that a majority of the people have used social media in some sort, some platform, and so that's great. And then it's also really kind of exciting to see that you also use it professionally. And when I started coming into the social media aspect of this as a profession, I'm looking at some of these questions in the chat, and I got a little distracted, but thanks, Scott, for putting the call number in there. But I was coming at it from using it on a personal level. So what I want to share with you today are just some of the social media platforms that are out there, the major ones, how I use those different platforms, and then tips and tools. So social media is ubiquitous. It's everywhere. Everywhere I look, I find social media, you know, like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter, and it's just becoming everywhere on people's paper advertising, on digital advertising. So it's fun to kind of now start being a part of that conversation and those communities that are already happening. You reach people where they are instead of requiring them to come to you. And it's a conversation with people that you may not have had an opportunity to converse with and keep up with on a regular basis. So when I decided to go into social media for Ceres Education Outreach, I really did look at what were the major platforms that people were using. And I wanted to get the most bang for my time. So Facebook tends to have a lot of users. LinkedIn has quite a few users as well. And all these different programs or these platforms, they're used in different ways. So Facebook starts out more socially oriented, where I think LinkedIn is more business-oriented, and they've tried to move more in the social field. And Twitter is used a lot, and it's very fun if you have the time to get in there and chat and check on things. I'll show you an example of Pinterest, and I don't use that one quite as often.
Emily, can I ask a question? What do you define as online adults?
Adults that use the internet. So
yeah, but adults are over, like, no longer in school or no longer in college, or where's your cutoff? Because I find that age break makes a difference. It seems.
It does, and it's actually when I look at our insights on Facebook, it's actually pretty encouraging to me that there are a lot of older people that are online. But I think this graphic was mainly for people that may be 21 and older. And so when I look at our different pages, I can actually see which adults are online in their age groups. So each of our different pages actually caters to certain age groups. We have younger people that are associated with the IC Facebook page. Series Education Outreach tends to be an older audience. And then with Trout Bowl, we have a lot of students on there. And so we have quite a mix, students and parents and teachers. So, but I think for this graphic, it's probably 21 and older.
Okay, thanks.
So, again, 91% of adults online use social media regularly. I don't think this poll is actually going to work. I was going to see if people could come in there and just mark next to which ones they do. But if you would put in the chat just real quickly whether you use like 1, 2, 3, or all of these. So, you know, or like Facebook is your main one, and so we can all kind of see what people do. So I see there's a lot of, I guess we're actually all over the board on a lot of this, but it does look like there's several people that are using more than one platform. Great. So right now, these are the platforms that I use. I use Facebook, and it's mainly for personal connections and news aggregates. So it's a chance for me to connect with people that I wouldn't normally connect with on a more regular basis. It's the people that are across the country and doing other things. And I can kind of keep up with what they're doing professionally and then some personal connections as well. I also use it as a news aggregate. I look through there and I see what other people are posting or what other people have found in the news, and I may share that or repost it or just use it for my own personal information. With LinkedIn, I use that for business connections, and I have started using the professional groups aspect of LinkedIn. And the groups are actually wonderful because you can ask questions, you can share information and tools with them, and people respond. So sometimes when I forget, how to use something technology-wise, I'll go to the technology forums on LinkedIn and start using them and asking for questions. I've always gotten great responses from them. I use Twitter for news and tweet-ups. Tweet-ups are a lot of fun, and I want to start doing that more with our group when we have an opportunity to do that. And you can find out more about tweet-ups if you just Google it. NASA has done a great job with tweet-ups, and that's where I got into doing
Can you tell what tweet-ups is?
So what a tweet-up is really a meet-up, and you advertise on Twitter. And it's usually hashtag or pound tweet up and wherever you're going to meet. And people will just come and meet. And it's usually you meet around a certain theme or an interest or something like that. And then when people are there, it sounds a little geeky, but you sit there and kind of, you know, tweet, go onto Twitter and say, hey, I'm here and I'm talking with so-and-so and this is a lot of fun and we're checking out this or we're eating this great food or, you know, just various things. The NASA tweet-ups are really cool because they actually do a day event. So they'll have a whole event, and people are there participating in the event, but also tweeting about the event and telling other people what they're doing. Like, I'm meeting this scientist, or I'm being able to go through this exhibit at NASA. And they also have tweet-ups with people that are on the International Space Station. So it's just a way of getting some people together to, you know, chat and enjoy the experience, and also share it with others via Twitter. Google Plus, I use that for Hangouts and professional groups. So they have a few professional groups on there that are very active. And one thing I would suggest is when you go on LinkedIn or Google Plus and you start looking for a group, look at how many people are participating. Those are the groups that are going to have a richer experience for you. If they only have 10 people, 20 people, 100 people, they may not be very active. And see how many posts they do, if they post on a regular basis. And that way, I get those in my email, and I can just read through those and see if there's an interesting topic that I want to go out and read on
Emily,
there.
Emily, are the groups different from circles?
Yes, the groups are different from circles.
Okay, can you say how, so everybody knows?
Well, circles are things that you create yourself, and you can put people in certain circles or categorize these people in your life. You can say these are my friends and family, and these are coworkers. These are people that are working on certain projects, and it can help you in if you are using Google Plus social media-wise, looking in your news feed, you can organize who you want to see information from. If those people are also posting on Google Plus, you can invite people to hang out via circles, which I think is a very handy thing to do. The professional groups are the old Google groups. You know, people used to start like a Google group or a Yahoo group or something for their club or an interest group, and it's just people that join a group and participate. So with a circle, you manage that, and with a group, you decide whether you want to join it or not, or create one for yourself or for a project. Pinterest, I don't spend a lot of time on Pinterest. I started there just to kind of explore it and check it out. It's a web collection site. So you can pin sites, books, movies. You can pin things that are on the Internet, and you can pin them on what they call boards. But you're really just, you know, you can make a board of crafts. You can make a board of these are garden ideas or cooking ideas. It started out socially for people's just personal interests. And then people have learned how to use it professionally by making boards that are for climate education, for technology and e-learning, for, you know, great videos or articles on global warming or, you know, whatever. So you can really categorize it the way you want to. Personally, I find that it's pretty time-consuming to sit there and read through people's things and click on them. It's very visual, so you can go through and look at, you know, people's things and sift through them pretty fast, but you still have to do a lot of clicking, checking it out, and then may, yes, no, maybe. I see a question really quick that says, does Pinterest work for non-visual sites? And actually, I don't think it does, because every time when I try to pin something, they always want to refer to a picture. They want to anchor it to something. So, but I don't use Pinterest enough to know exactly if that is true for Pinterest or not, but that's my impression of it. There has to be an image associated with it. Also, the images below here are two graphs that I think are really helpful, and you can refer to those on if you download the presentation, and they just say what the platform is, what it's good for, who's using it, things like that. So I feel free to check those out. The initial engagement is pretty time consuming. And so I would tell, you know, do what you can and set, give yourself time limits. I don't put in this kind of time on social media. And I try to be really, really efficient. And that's why I mainly use Facebook, and I'll explain to you more about that. So what's in it for you? I know that's what everybody wants to know. So it's a great way to keep track of your peers and your colleagues. And a funny thing happened to me at AGU this past year. I was at the Marriott. I was down getting coffee at the Starbucks, and this woman comes up to me, and she says, "Aren't you, you know, on Facebook? Aren't you Emily Kelliger?" And I was like, "Yeah." And she was like, "Thanks so much for those great posts." And she recognized me from my profile picture. And so that was really kind of fun to be able to start up that conversation with this woman. And then we were both from Colorado, but we just had never met personally. And so when we got back from AGU, we had coffee together and started up, you know, networking and having that conversation. So I really do like to keep up with people on Facebook. It's also an easy way to follow thought leaders and follow some information. And it's actually been very positive for me to have access to message somebody or share on their timeline a thought or a comment where normally I wouldn't probably have access to that person. So it's kind of a great way to expand your network and your circle of people that you know and work with. It's also a good way to share your events and your work. It's easy access to learning and professional development. And I follow Adobe products that I'm interested in learning about on Facebook. And so whenever they have a training or tutorial, they post it on Facebook. And so I can click over and take that little tutorial or course. And so I use it also for professional development. And it's also a great way to get opinions. So you can think of it in two ways as far as getting opinions. One is if you do a post on a page, you can see how many people checked it out, and you're going, "Oh, okay, well, people weren't really interested in that, but they were really interested in this other thing that I posted later." And so you can start to cater your posting toward the things that your community are interested in. So that's kind of a unique way to use it there. But how I like to use Facebook also is just like it's personalizing my desk. So I don't strictly use it for business. I use it personally. I do have two accounts. So I do like to have two accounts. My personal account is pretty much family and friends. And then my professional account is kind of professional and friends, you know, their colleagues and that I work with. And so when I think about that account, I look at it as I do a few personal things on there. I let people know, you know, my hobbies and what I'm up to and things like that. But I kind of think of it as like how someone would come into your office and kind of get an idea of who you are via the things that you have around you in your office. So I really think about the posts that I make and the likes and the apps and the groups and just the visibility of my professional Facebook page. All right. Are you ready to be a Facebook power user? Isn't this guy great? He totally cracks me up. So the first thing to do when you go into Facebook is to go ahead and set up your profile. Decide what you want to share with other people, what you want to share with the public, and then put your friends and your colleagues into groups. So you can make lists, friends lists. And so you can see here that I've made a few lists. I've made, let's see if my pointer will go. Here we go. I've made some friends for the University of Colorado. I've made friends in the IC community, and I've made friends with the NASA and SDA community. When I look over here at these numbers, these mean these. I have three people that are in this community that have posted. This community, I have one person that's posted. So in the next slide, I'm going to show you a bit more about navigation, but you can actually navigate via your friends list and go and click on just and see in your timeline just the University of Colorado post, and then that way it kind of is a little more efficient on my time. The next thing that you can do is if you've liked pages, you can now put those pages all into an interest group. So you can add interest to one of these groups that you've made, or you can keep adding more interest groups. These are the pages that I've added to the climate education list, the interest list that I have. Here's where you can manage it. And you can also share it with colleagues if you say, hey, I've got this really great group of pages that I like, and you can share that out with other people. The other cool thing about creating an interest list like this is you actually don't have to like all the pages. So for a while, I felt overwhelmed by, oh, gee, I want to like this page and like this page and like that page, and then I would get tired of some of their postings, but I still didn't want to unlike them. So you can actually put pages in here without liking them. So that's kind of a nice feature for that. So here is your typical news feed. You can select whether you want to see the most recent. You can sort it by most recent, or you can select it by top posts. And those are people that tend to post a lot or ones that you actually click on and like and interact with the most. Your news feed, you can have favorites in this section. These are all the pages that I manage that are here. But these pages, this pages feed, that means there's 20-plus pages that have posts that I like. And then if you go down to the groups, I've joined some Facebook groups. And then here are my interests. I later moved my interests up to the favorites area, so I can click on those more efficiently as I go through my day and I want to find out information. And then here you can actually click on your friends, so you can actually click on communities. So if you wanted to see in your news feed what was happening at the University of Colorado, you could just click on that, and it would show up here in your news feed who posted there. And then you can also get some idea of how many posts you're going to be looking at, like how active these areas are. So you just need to work about, you know, getting in a flow with social media. You join groups, you make friends, you post comments, you participate, you watch the traffic. One of the things that a lot of people maybe don't realize is that you see everybody pushing like my page. Well, when you like somebody's page, that first gives them analytics on that. And then also, whenever you like or share something, you can, it also propagates out to your friends of friends. And I'll show you a little bit about how that works in a minute. Again, here's some just effective engagement kind of ideas. It's okay to tell people if you're on a page what you'd like them to do. You know, take this poll or, you know, submit pictures or watch this video or, you know, check this out. It's okay to encourage them on your pages when you want them to interact with you. You can create a Facebook page, and I've done this with our IC group, our Inspiring Climate Education Excellence group, and also with a series education outreach group. And then I have one for the Trout Bowl, which I'll show you what that is in a minute. It's a high school competition that we do here at Series Education Outreach. But you'll notice that on this one, I have it linked up to Vimeo, to our Vimeo account. And on this one, I have it linked up to our YouTube account. So we have YouTube videos that go with our IC curriculum. And so people can actually see that from here. And so you can also check about your posts and who's talking about this and how far your reach is. So that's another nice thing about creating a Facebook page is that you can get these types of analytics. Also, when you create a Facebook page, you can learn a lot about Facebook. That's one thing that I've really appreciated about that. There's a lot of tutorials and learning materials. And Twitter does a great job of that now, too. They have Twitter University. So there's a lot you can do to teach yourself more about these things. So there's best practices guides to make your page engaging, best practice guides to marketing on Facebook.
Emily, can I ask, are you distinguishing between, you're talking now about a series page as opposed to a personal page? Is there a difference?
Yes. So for my personal account, I don't get analytics. Also, on your personal account, if you feel like you are going to have a lot of friends, you can actually open up what's called following. You can open up that option so people can follow you instead of friend you. And following is kind of nice because when you unfollow somebody, it's not like unfriending them. So you can follow certain people without being friends with them. So
to these tutorials that you were talking about, is that available when you have a personal page or?
You know, I haven't really looked on my personal page for these types of tutorials. I know that they do have tutorials on security on your Facebook page, so you can learn about the different features. You know, what are the apps and what apps do. So you can learn about those types of things on your personal account, but they're probably not going to have, like, the marketing guides or things like that on your personal account.
Okay, thank you.
And then also on a page, you can link it to your Twitter account or other social media accounts. So that is actually a really nice feature of Facebook. You can use it with Instagram, YouTube, Pinterest, Twitter, Google+. And then you can actually upload your own videos, and so you can have videos on YouTube as well, and your regular photos that you use. So you can use Facebook as a social media hub. So where do you get ideas for posting? You can use news aggregates, like Real Climate or Science Seeker. You can use Google News and create Google Alerts. So if you create a Google Alert and there's information out there on how to do this, you can just Google Alerts and you'll see a tutorial on how to make those alerts. But they'll email you if something shows up in the news about climate or education or science news or something like that. So you can create those types of Google alerts. But also just searching. You can search Google. You can search Twitter. And searching Twitter is actually pretty beneficial, too, to see what people are talking about. If you do a couple of searches for climate education, climate science news, or things like that, you can see where the conversations are that day, if they're more on the science or more on the education piece, and then see what people are talking about and use those to give you some ideas about posting. I also have a toolbar folder on Firefox with a list of all these websites, news websites that I can go to and read and find out what's happening in climate science. And then I also, I limit my posting to about one or two posts a day. And so if I find more than that, I'll put it on the calendar to post for the next day. So here are some examples of some of our Facebook pages. The Trout Bowl is a regional competition that Ceres Education Outreach has been hosting for 15 years, and it's the National Ocean Science Bowl. And so here's our page. We have 53 likes. 53 people have liked our page. When we post things, we have a great following, 43 people. You know, almost all the people that like our page see our posts. And then one of the neat things is, like, if you make a post, you know, comment on it. You know, don't just like kind of post and then dismiss it. Go back and see if people have, you know, commented or liked it or shared it. And then join in that conversation with them. Just don't, you know, post and run away. Again, we only have 53 likes. And at this point, we probably didn't even have that many. But 3,270 people saw this post. This is a post that we did where we announced the winner of the competition, but we didn't include a picture. So only 108 people saw this post. When we included the picture, it jumped dramatically. And here's kind of what it looks like in our insert, which I thought was pretty funny and I was going to share with you because it looks a bit like the CO2 curve from NASA. Also, when I told you that, you know, we only have 53 people that like this page, so we get this, if you click on something like this on your page, you'll be able to see that viral means that people outside of your like community are seeing this. So this goes back a little bit to that graphic that I showed you where likes propagate. So 27 people out of the 53, or I think this is a little bit less than that, but, you know, actually saw it, but 571 people saw it that propagated out. And then here you can see that one person shared it. So just to be able to understand just how far these things can go. This is an example of social media that I abandoned. This is called Scoop It, and it's how to create like an online magazine out of things that are on the web and videos and all this kind of stuff. So you can, it's kind of like a Pinterest type of thing, but it's in a magazine format. And what I found out is that I just wasn't getting enough traction. There weren't enough people viewing it. So the people that I was interested in in reaching weren't really using Scoop It. So I abandoned Scoop It. Here is what the IC looks like as far as on our Twitter page. This is what Pinterest looks like with Learn More About Climate. And I think they've done a great job with this. They have educational videos for educators, green resources, climate in the classroom. Ooh, and there's Icy. Just a little plug for us. And, climate education in general. So they've done a good job of grouping all these things and finding resources for people. So I invite you now just to choose an action step. So if you are a new user to social media, check out setting up a Facebook account. Look at your settings. Look at your privacy settings. I didn't talk a lot about this, but if you're interested in learning how to, if you only want to have one Facebook account, but you want to use it personally and professionally, I can explain to you how to set that up and how you can post only to your professional colleagues or post only to your friends and family. I separated out my accounts because I knew that one of these days I was going to goof up and post something to the wrong community, so that's why I have two accounts. But go ahead and create your friends list, and then like the clean Facebook page, and then share one of the posts off the clean Facebook page and help propagate the cool things that clean is doing. If you're a casual user, again, like the clean Facebook page if you haven't already. Share one of their posts or comment on a post. Like similar pages. So that's something that's kind of, if you like one page, now you'll get suggestions underneath. After you hit like, you'll get suggestions of other similar pages. And then also find colleagues. So I look at sometimes friends of friends, and that way I can see who else might be in my my common interest in my professional world that I can be friends with and on my Facebook page. And then if you're an advanced user, try creating some interest lists of the pages that you like and see if you can use that navigation bar more effectively and time efficiently. And then also you can turn off and on notifications. So at the top of your Facebook page, there's a little globe, and you can, those are all the notifications of who's posted. And Facebook pretty much controls that unless you go in there and turn off and on those notifications. So I see Carol says, a minor question, have you found an easy way to toggle between your two Facebook pages? Yeah, it's a very cheap little way, but I put it in two different browsers. So Safari, I'll have one browser open with that, Safari and one browser open with the other Facebook page, because the browsers don't like you to switch back and forth, log in and log out. Susan asked me if I would share what times of day are best for posting. And there's been a lot of research out there, and there's a lot of information that you can find about what are the optimal times to post. And that's what I tend to do just to get the biggest bang for my buck in my time, since I don't spend a lot of time on social media. So I post about between 10 and noon. So people usually want to check their Facebook page about the middle of the morning. They check it at lunchtime, and they check it right before they go home. So if you want to get your posts where people will see them, you post in those time frames. Also, the weekend tends to be a good time to post, although I don't normally post on the weekends. Let's see. I'm going to go back to some of these questions that I see coming up. What platform works best? Kristen, that's just up to where your audience is, really. I find with certain, and how you've marketed it, if the teachers that you're working with, if you really send them to a certain Facebook page that you set up specifically for them, they will come and they'll use it. I think that when I tried to get the teachers to be connected with our series education outreach page, they're not quite as excited about that. But, I mean, the topic for today was really to kind of share with you how I do it personally, but I do have some formulas that I use, and I separate out the types of posts that I do for each one of these pages as well. So the types of posts that I do for series education outreach will be different than the type of a post that I would do for the IC community or for the Trout Bowl. Let's see. In Facebook, there is a gear-shaped icon of the top right. Yes, that's how you can manage your account. Thank you, Ellen, you were answering somebody else's questions. I have my the chat session kind of small, so I'm going to pull it up just a little bit. Does anybody else have any more questions for me?
Well, Emily, this has been really, really helpful. And so I want to thank you, but I do want to open it up for any questions that anybody from the group. And Emily, I think since you refer to those two charts, you should just show them so that people know that they're in this presentation that is posted on the site. They shouldn't be looking for them separately.
Okay. So this one is a guide to social media. It's what is, it's great because it asks the questions. What are these different platforms used for? What can it do for your business? What can it do? What is the nature of the content? How do you measure it? So this is a great example from Spitfire that I found. And then here was another matrix for the top social media portals. And actually it's pretty good because it gives you about how many hours in a day it takes to manage this. And
Emily, this is Frank Niepold. I have a question for you.
Yes.
So one of the things as we move into a more marketing phase of clean and related, web projects that relate to climate education or climate and energy literacy, the idea of getting an organization that has our target audience already built with their social media and getting them to kind of follow us, as opposed to trying to get them, our audience, to follow us directly, but getting those who they already follow to follow us or something like that. I don't know if I'm saying that right, but...
Right. I think I understand you. It's how to reach out to these other social media communities that already have, like, a large following of the people that are your target.
Exactly.
So what I did was I actually I messaged these groups. So I would message Globe, and I said, hey, I don't know if you know about my, IC page, but would you like our page? And then could we work together where you could share some of our stuff if it's pertinent to your community? And so the Lawrence Science Hall, there's other people that I've reached out to. So it takes some initial instigation on that part. So you can maybe make a list of the other pages. And then once I always like their page first, but then I go and I introduce myself via a message to them and say, this is who I am. I also have this page, and I put the link in there. And, would you like our page and consider sharing any information with your, audience, share on your site as well. And people are really nice about that, I found. Carol?
Just to follow.
Okay.
Well, just to follow up on that, I mean, the science teacher, geography teacher, the teachers that, for clean, they're, I mean, when you ask teachers, at conferences which social media do they use, about a third of them use Facebook, some of them use LinkedIn, and some of them use Twitter. Those seem to be the only three that I've heard. And then there's these other smaller places, but... I mean, where do you have any sense of where they're going, which places they're following in the largest number? Like, is NSPA a place that they follow? Or is this really an emergent field for science education or geography education?
I also belong to ISTE, which is a big technology education group. And when I went to ISTE last year, I was actually asking a lot of those questions just in general as I was walking around and in the...
ISTE is what? Can you say what ISTE is?
It's technology education.
Okay.
So it's international. I don't remember what the S stands for, but technology education. And what the teachers there, they use LinkedIn as their professional resource. They don't use the groups a lot. Some of the teachers do, but they use it mainly for technology stuff. The people that are using, that are looking for curriculum, I found that a lot of them will use Facebook because they'll belong to NSTA, that page. They'll go to the pages that post the best content.
Right.
And so one of the things that I have some ideas about Clean, and I'll give you maybe a few teasers, but I'll probably try to join in on the third meeting about this to get my ideas on how you could actually get more people, because Clean seems to be a little stifled in how they present to people. So teachers want fast information on things. And so you could probably put a Clean widget on your Facebook page so people could actually, within Facebook, while they're using it, be able to click Clean and do a few searches. And so thanks, Jeffrey. I'm just ISTE is the International Society for Technology and Education. But,
yeah.
Clean has some lots of potential. And but to get teachers to go to the Facebook page, you're going to need to operate a little bit differently with that. And I think that being able to put a widget on the Facebook page would help a lot. But also being able to put news, and I think that you've started to do that more, about what they can find in the news, what's happening, what are some of the local impacts.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so this is really helpful. I didn't know that we could put the Clean widget on the Facebook page, so that's really interesting to know. And just so everybody, in case, I just want to put this context out here. This is the first of three sessions on social media, and the next one, which is in 2 weeks, we will be discussing how various organizations use social media and how high-level individuals within those organizations effectively use social media. And then the third one is focused on what we're starting to talk about now, which is how can Clean most effectively use social media. So I just wanted everybody to have that context, and I can still open up for more questions and conversation.
Carol, I'm going to answer your question really quick about how to turn notifications off and on. So on Facebook, if you go up to the little globe and you click on that, you'll see notifications there. I'm not on the Internet right now, per se, to be able to go and look exactly at that, but on most posts, it's invisible and you can't really see it. There, to the top right-hand side, if you hover over it, you'll get like a little pencil that looks like where you can edit something. And so you can click on that and hide something or say that it's spam, you don't want to see it. They have that aspect in the notifications as well. So you can go up there and you can say, I want to see less from this person. Because I had some people that were sitting there doing like pictures and pictures and pictures and pictures, and totally my navigation was about this person that does 20 posts a day. So I just invite you to look around, and if you still can't find it, then email me at emily.kelliger@colorado.edu, and I will send you a screenshot of how to do it. Okay, great. You found it. That's awesome.
Okay, there are other questions? Emily, you want to put you can put your contact information back up if you want.
Okay.
I just wanted people to know that these matrices that I think are very useful are in this presentation.
Yeah. I also wanted to share some of the people that I think that's on Facebook that I really think do a good job. ACE does an excellent job. I like to follow them, Skeptical Science, NOAA's climate.gov, the Globe Program, 350.org, NSTA. Heidi Cullen, she does a great job.
Have you used advertising?
No, because you have to pay for that. So,
okay.
I mean, the one thing about the social media is it's great for free advertising.
What if you're trying to reach targeted groups?
You already are.
Are there any other questions? Comments? Okay, well, if not, we can end. Emily, thank you very much. This is an excellent presentation. I'm sure you'll get continuing emails from various people. I know for me, for sure. Thank you very much for making this presentation. Next week, the presentation where I mentioned the content, we will have Ellen Klicka and Maureen Moses from the American Meteorological Society. Ellen is from the policy section of AMS, and Maureen is from the education section of AMS, and they will lead a conversation around organizational use of social media, which Emily got to a bit here, and I invite all of you to bring your successful examples to that conversation.
Is that next week or the week after?
Actually, I should give the context. Next week, we are going to be addressing the next generation science standards and how it reflects climate literacy. There were various phases, and a group of members of the Clean Network are looking at how climate appeared and has changed within the various versions, and how the feedback from the Clean Network is reflected in what the final version is. And Frank, or maybe if Rebecca's on the phone, you can say anything more about what next week is going to be addressing.
So I'm here. Rebecca, are you online? Perhaps not. So Rebecca and I and some others have been doing ongoing analysis across the multiple iterations of our look at the climate, between climate literacy and the next generation science standards, and trying to clarify really what is the final state of things in the final version. And what is the totality of that work, and what specific language what are some of the needed clarifications in order for us to really help the community work next generation science centers as they relate to climate change education. So it's there's a working document that we've been all sharing, but that's where we are right now.
Okay, thanks a lot. So we have a full agenda for the next month. Again, thank you very much, Emily, and we'll talk to everybody next week.
All right, thanks. Bye.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.